Georges Sand's Right Arm, circa 1847. Read for you by Jeanette Winterson. In the early 19th century, if a woman wanted gently to suggest to her husband that she didn't agree with Napoleon's view that a woman was man's possession as the fruit tree is that of the gardener, and that she wouldn't be letting him order her about in the future, she would simply leave a copy of a novel by Georges Sand lying around the house. The French novelist, who began writing under a male pseudonym in the 1830s, stirred something in the women of the era and gave the men of France, England and Germany, even America and Russia, a terrible headache. In an 1836 caricature by Honoré Daumier, we see a trouserless man in holy socks standing before his wife, who's reading a book, shouting in one last desperate attempt to maintain his authority, "I don't care one whit about her, your Madame Sand, who stops women mending their husbands' trousers. Either we bring in divorce, or that woman gets abolished." Sand wrote the books that encouraged her fellow women to desert their duties, Indiana, Layla, Little Fadette, and the Devil's Pool, with this very hand, her right one. This replica was made by her son-in-law, the sculptor Auguste Clésinger, in the same batch of work that also produced the left hand of Chopin, the most famous of Georges' lovers. Today, they lie next to one another inside a display case in the Musée de la Vie Romantique in Paris. It's as though, in a fit of romanticism, we've tried to hold on to the exact spot on the body where their genius spilled forth, playing the piano for Chopin, writing novels for Sand. And while Chopin moved people's ears, Georges Sand moved something very specific in society. Just as her friend Gustave Flaubert's Bovarism would catch hold and give a name to the longings of middle-class housewives a couple of years later, so too did Sandism spread like wildfire. It encouraged women less towards melancholy dreaming and far more to take action, to question their place in the world, the entire gender-related distribution of roles, and perhaps to position themselves differently, become more independent and self-willed. Writing in an American newspaper, her contemporary, Henry James, once said that Georges Sand stood for a certain attitude to the world. It was his belief that anyone who read her books wanted that to say something about themselves, in much the same way as people might go around these days with a tote bag from a particular bookshop to announce their convictions. According to James, reading Sand was a bit like wordlessly saying, "I'm a socialist, transcendentalist and abolitionist," a bit like declaring, "I'm modern and progressive." Because Georges Sand certainly was modern and progressive. She was one of those writers who didn't just inspire her contemporaries with her books, but also with her unusual lifestyle. Seeing as Aurore Dupin, as she was once known, was bored in her marriage and often had affairs anyway, in the 1820s she successfully persuaded her husband to let her spend half the year living on her own in Paris. Later, when she'd established herself as an author under the name Georges Sand, derived from the name of one of her lovers, a certain Monsieur Sandeau, and was selling a lot of books, she obtained a separation from her husband in a court case that was followed by the whole country. Divorce didn't exist at the time. Napoleon had abolished it with his misogynistic Code Civil. But Georges clearly wasn't about to let a little thing like that impede her. Equally, she refused to let impractical women's clothing impede her, even though it was strictly forbidden, a punishable crime, for a woman to march around town wearing trousers. Sand somehow managed to get herself an official certificate of exemption, and from then on, she was able to walk the streets dressed as a man, to perambulate, to promenade, observing others without being observed herself. Or, as she wrote in her autobiography, Story of My Life, I flew from one end of Paris to the other. I ran out in every kind of weather. I came home at every sort of hour. No one paid any attention to me, and no one guessed at my disguise. In one of her lesser-known works, a play titled Gabrielle, playing with gender roles is an important theme. Her protagonist wishes to be neither man nor woman, but simply free. She-he thus spends half the year dressed as one gender and half as the other, until the world punishes her-him for taking such a liberty. Strangely, history has condemned Sand less for her unconventional way of living than for an ostensibly feminine hobby. Her liaison with Chopin and stormy affair with Alfred de Musset, whom she in turn betrayed with his doctor as he lay mortally ill in bed, are all part of the Georges Sand legend and have contributed to her fame for decades. What was long held against her, however, was something quite the opposite, that she didn't just use her right hand for writing novels and practising free love, but also enjoyed making jam with it. In Paris, she was Georges, who walked around town in trousers and smoked a pipe. But at home, in Nohant, she might have been more Aurore. She loved taking care of her guests and cooking for her gentle friend Flaubert. The Russian novelist Turgenev felt so at home with her that he joined in with the dancing, and even a jealous Balzac dropped in often. While he didn't think much of Sandism, a trend he claimed that encouraged talentless women all over the country to try their hand at writing, he never questioned Georges' skill as a writer of novels or as a hostess. And it was these apparently unforgivable housewifely qualities that eventually earned Georges Sand the nickname of Bonne Dame de Nohant, the Good Lady of Nohant, in France, and left her languishing for a long time in a corner of shallow, slightly too romantic women's literature. The fact that she'd once incited a revolution was simply forgotten, and instead she was derided as a nice little woman. People evidently resented how, despite her assumed name, she hadn't wanted to be a real man, but instead had used her strong right hand to cobble together a different role. A role in which jam-making, writing, trouser-wearing, pipe-smoking, wild love affairs, romance and independence were all able to coexist, each one in no way excluding the others.